Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Morning, sir.
Greetings to you.
To you too, sir.
And Mr. Stout, and to all our audience. As you listen to Brass Tacks, Mr. Johnson, I hear the pain and the injustice that some of our callers feel concerning the system of things. Like our first caller, the one that called yesterday evening, and Mr. P. I just want to share something with them here, and I will close off. It says there, come to me, all you who are toiling and loaded down, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am mild tempered and lowly in heart. And you will find refreshment for yourselves. For my yoke is kindly, and my load is light. That is for my brothers and all those who are feeling the pain of the injustice in this world, not only barbarians. Mr. Johnson, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you as well, sir. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Morning, Dennis.
Hey, what's up?
Well, so I think you should ask me what's done.
What's done?
I got a recommendation for you, a replacement of you guys. Show me. You know who you will put there, but we ain't going to discuss that because we don't want to start World War III.
You always wanted to do it. Go ahead.
I had really called to talk about the happiness with Queen's College, CSC, and the Ministry of Education.
But
I ain't gonna go into too much right now because there are things that have to be discussed with others. If I come and talk about it, it'd be like letting people know what to prepare for, and they don't intend to do that. What I would like to see, though, is that people at the schools give all of those students, whether from Queen's College, St. Michael's, whatever, the moral support, the physical support, whatever kind of positive support that they need. Because what those students have been through and is still going through is going to leave them scared.
Right.
Is that you go to a job, you work your hardest, you know you give your best, you know you deserve a proper pay. At the end of the day, all you're going to get is a promise. I'm going to further.
But sir, is that not part of life? Isn't that what they say builds character?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that's part of life that shouldn't be part of life, though. A lot of things that's part of life are man-made.
Yeah, and you have to learn how to cope with it?
Huh?
And you have to learn how to cope with it. So how will you learn how to cope with it?
Yeah, you know the quote, really. But that doesn't mean that you should learn in such a way that you let it happen. Because if this thing is not, for want of a better word, fixed. I guarantee that others are going to suffer by it. You think of that? No. I can let us stop there. You can't be. You know that nothing doing that with me. You know that. Nothing's ever done with me. And people thought I was going to repeat myself. I got to repeat myself till they see solutions.
All right. Okay, sir. Yeah.
I know. Let me go on over.
Yeah.
A lot of things that people say comes back to haunt them. I remember hearing, call the police. I don't know who said it. I remember hearing that. And it's going to get worse. We have to start instilling values into our children. We have to start instilling discipline into our children.
Right.
Right? I have, and you know her too, one of my daughters one day told me, because I didn't let her do something she wanted to do, I hear you. I say, yeah, I'm not a problem with that. There were times when he hit my parents too. I was hitting them because they would not allow me to do what I wanted to do. But you know what? When I look back, as I grew and I started to look back, I saw what they were protecting me from. And when I explained that to her, now I got a hug and a kiss.
Right. So take that example, right? And put it on what you've just said about the disappointments after hard work and what you feel is an unfair grade and the fight to have what you think is a problem fixed. But hold on, sir. Hold on. Let me explain something to you, right? You took it personally. I've taken a lot personally, too, about things that have happened in school. It didn't escalate to my parents going to school. It didn't escalate to the level of what's happening with CXC or the parents' protests or the children's disappointment or the government involvement or the ministries of education or persons in CXC making statements that I think, you know, are just wrong. You look today, a response from the Ministry of Education because of some online video of a teacher and a student having an altercation, right? And the response of the student and the response of the teacher. We train our teachers. They go to various institutions to be trained. They have degrees. They have knowledge of the subject matter that they're supposed to teach. But you get the kind of interaction that you get where rather than the teacher lifting the student to the level that he's at, descends to the level that the student's at to go one-on-one with him. Both reactions are wrong. Both reactions leave a lot to be desired. The fact that somebody filmed it and passed it around is also a reflection of where we are today. The problem is, sir, we are trying to deal with a 21st century problem with 19th century tactics. People are using cell phones and other smart phones and various means of communication to cheat in exams. And the response cannot be to doctor the reports or drop to the level or say, well, you know, the software malfunctioned or we changed the paradigm or whatever is the other fancy terms we choose to use. We have to find a way to combat what is passing for education today that is not teaching our children how to, one, educate themselves, two, have a desire for learning, and three, how to fix the problems of life when they encounter it. It cannot be turned into drugs. It cannot be turned into violence. It cannot be the disrespect we have for each other. Sir, we are trying to fix a 21st century problem with 19th century tactics. Well, we can't beat them no more, so what we can do? We can't expel them no more, so what we can do? We can find some name to put on them and say we're studying the problem because it makes us look good. Sir,
hey.
We have a problem. What we don't want to do is fix the problems that we have. We want to complain about them. We want to find somebody to blame for them, and we want to hope that they will go away if we pray real hard. Yes, sir. I see.
Yes.
I don't preach.
Well, I agree with what you're saying.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's me. You should be surprised.
I am not. I am not.
Surprised.
I am not at all.
I think, right? A lot of us talk about what people does. And I've said this many times, right? And I hope we don't have to say it too many times more. But we don't have to talk about the causes, right? I think we need, I don't know if it's because of the age gap that children don't want to talk to the elders or elders are not willing to listen, but the only way, the first step to solving any problem is to communicate, right? That's the first step. And to me, that's the most important step. Rather than just labeling children, we need to find out what is causing our children to do these things. You can't just go to the doctor's office and sit down, and he can just prescribe medicine for you. You have to tell him what your medical condition is.
Yeah. You have to tell him what you think is wrong with you, and he'll tell you what you think causing it, yeah?
Right.
Sort of.
So we need, and there are a lot of older people who have to take some responsibility for this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as you said, that's now the 19th century, the 21st century. We are not back then. Children are very sensible, they're smart.
And they're always worse, sir. That's the So I don't know why we keep talking about children of today, like they're so different from children of before. So the person who discovered most of the things that we have discovered today were children of the past. So it is that we're communicating in a different language. That's what it is. Our grandparents talk to us in one language. Our parents talk to us in another language. We talk to our friends in another language. 9 out of 10 times, our grandparents did not understand the language we spoke to our friends. But we knew what language to address our grandparents as, or with, or how we chose to address them. So,
that's not what you do for me, though, Dennis.
Weird.
You know, when you grow older, right? It didn't only you hear that term, Greer. Everything else grow older. When you interrupt me, make the interruption short.
All right, sir. Okay. I get you. I cutting off your stream. Sorry. Bad habit of mine. I call it conversation. People tell me I do too much of it. Sorry.
It is a useful cut off. What I would do in future is a regular list. I will put Mr. P, blah, 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 Dennis Greer. Mr. P, blah, 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 Dennis Greer.
Just show me so I know where to take the break, because John just tell me to do the same thing too. So have a good day. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing today, sir?
I'm fine.
To you and your listeners, sir?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I probably endorse some of what you're saying. I don't know when now the historians will lobby to take Samuel Jackman Prescott off the $20 bill. I don't know. It seems to be a certain type of painting this place black. I don't understand it. If you can look at Nelson and claim as a white man, Henry being there, what are you doing with Christopher Constant? All his work stays with us. The college, the university, the college that's there, everything, high schools, everything with Christopher Cogerton. Somebody just talk about Goddard and also Mr. Mark Williams. Talk about Goddard. I worked with Goddard in the 50s, and like you also work in the bank. And I know that the Goddard, when he started off not as a rich white man, he started off the man running a donkey cart, coming down asking what's fat. And he had Victor and Bruce and but you know John Goddard, he become the captain, Fred being in the thing, and Michelle being John Goddard's daughter was the manager of the Marine Hotel. I work with them. I know Ludi and I know that in the 50s, so I know all about them.
All of them.
But what I'm saying is there were not all white men that were slave owners. There were those who worked their way up and become renowned in this country. And I don't think that we should just decide to say a black, black, black. I work at the bank, as you have, with the expatriates. I am saying when black men in the late 60s, early 70s, government in the early 60s, became managers of Barclays Bank. Sorry, said Barclays Bank, but yeah, of the banks in general.
Well, Barclays was one of the cornerstone banks in the Caribbean at that point. It was called Barclays Bank, DCO, Democratic Cooperative and Overseas, yeah.
You're right. In the banks in the general, I am saying black people suffered in the 1970s worse than when the actual tracks are here. I can witness and testify to the fact. I hear Trevor Marshall lecturing on bank, and he will tell you. I call him to talk in the morning. I say, you talk bare foolishness. You need to understand what banking system is in Barbados. This country is not only based on black people. There are white people who give certain great contribution to this country. And we should not put it in this. We don't have the American system. As I told, I fought to get a black man being a head of an assembly. You know, we regret very much after. It seemed that when the black get in position like crabs, they decide to take down everything that that is relevant in front of them. And it is ridiculous. We need to educate ourselves whereby that we help out each other and stop pulling down one another. Don't create a conflict between black and white and black beans. As I told a black fellow that came here when he was talking about black and white here, I tell him, listen to me, we were running freely on the bus when you had to stand on one when you get in or get off. We didn't have that problem here in Barbados. Why allow people to create such? The historians arguing things that we can't prove. The next 45 years, as you know, Barra fought over 67 years fighting for independence. Barra introduced republic over 45 years ago, and each one of the things Barra did, they say he was going communist. He was taking the country communist. They didn't want independence. It's amazing now, the same people who get on that way are the people who intend not to embrace what they say Barra was going to be a communist. Next 50 years, another group of people, which is not BRD, get in power and start taking down Arabar, start taking down Grant Adams, start taking down all the statues that we built up, because the historians then start to find fault with these men did. It is totally awkward, and we need to be conscious of what's going on, because the only thing historians not need now to do is take off a face like Samuel Jackson, Prescott, or $20 bill. Thanks very much for listening to me, sir.
Okay, sir. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir.
Morning.
Hi.
Hi. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I would like to know when they're going to change the name of the park gate that facing Nelson, that was facing Nelson statue. Because the above gate is Gamma General Gate, and the below gate is Nelson Gate. I would like to know when that's going to be changed.
Okay, sir.
Yeah? All right.
Mm-hmm. That's it. All right, that's it, I guess. 434-1790. You can reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. Dominion Colonial and Overseas. Thank you, yes, the DCO. Yeah, of Barclays. My Dominion. Yeah, the old Barclays DCO. Thank you. See, that's why I like WhatsApp. When they come to my rescue and I stand on my tongue. History, how it's taught. I've always been a student of history, and I enjoy history. I enjoy the robust discussions that ensued in my final year at school on the whole subject of Caribbean history and how it was taught and things we look for and things we know and the things we don't know. And my caller from time to time who would talk to me about his taxi driving and mention that building that I don't have a lot of affection for, that they stopped to show visitors to Barbados. And I often wonder, we have the cenotaph with names on it. There's a tomb in the churchyard at St. Matthias that has the names of sailors, not Barbadian sailors. There's a tomb in, I think, St. John's Parish Churchyard that has historic significance. You have the synagogue that's been redone in Bridgetown. When we talk about telling people the history of Barbados and showing them around, do we check to find out what are those persons' interests? Would they perhaps like to see if there's a family name inscribed on the cenotaph, if they had members of their family who, you know, served in the wars? Would they like to, if are they Jewish? Would they like to know that there's a synagogue in Barbados with a history? Would they like to tour the synagogue? When we talk about the history of Barbados, how is it taught to Barbadians? What do we tell them? And when I raise this, I'm told, well, it's not the way it was when you were in school. We've changed that now. Speak to the principal at this school or the history teacher at that school. And sometimes when I talk to young people, they ask, well, what's the point of learning all this? Doesn't fit in their psyche. But when people are not educated as to their origins and the reasons for their institutions, they make a mess of it. All those people following U.S. politics, pay attention to how little some of them know about their politics and their civics and their history and their geography too. And we look to them as an example. When I look at CARICOM, and I see we signed another agreement to much fanfare. When I look at CARICOM, and I see that Trinidad and Tobago headline in their newspaper that Len Bugsy Sharp and Paul Keynes Douglas will be given honorary doctorates by the UWI, and they interview both gentlemen because they're Trinidadian. And their impact on culture in Trinidad and Tobago. And then they list the other 20 people who get honorary doctorates. And right down at the bottom, number 20 in open campus, is Franklin McIntosh of St. Vincent and the Grenadines. You mean Trinidadians don't know who Frankie McIntosh is? Who arranged Calypso Rose, MacArthur Lewis, highest honor of Trinidad and Tobago, the Tobago Girl, music was arranged by Frankie McIntosh of St. Vincent, Frankie McIntosh and the Equitables, chalked us too. I remember having goose pimples in Studio 3 when Frankie McIntosh, Bugsy Sharp, and Leston Paul sat down together to have an interview. John Stout, who's smilingly sitting down up there now, was sitting in the control booth. And Frankie McIntosh went on the piano and started to play. And I signaled into John frantically, turn on the mic, turn on the mic. You know, because that's, you know, them things don't happen in a lifetime. Right? So when you have people in the Caribbean who are talking about Caribbean history and Caribbean music and don't know Slinger Francisco and don't know, you know, Anthony Carter, the most honorable, and don't know Frankie McIntosh, even when the UWI gives him an honorary doctorate, and you tell me about identity and CSME. Cindy, I love you dearly, dearly. And I salute the gentleman who introduced me to you. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Morning, sir.
I would like to ask you, what time, who built, you could tell me who built the House of Assembly, Parliament building?
No, sir, I can't off the top of my head.
But you don't got no idea when it was built.
Parliament in Barbados, if I try to pull out of my head, I won't be able to pull it out of my head. I have to look it up. Why you ask, though?
Well, I believe that British people built that. I believe so.
And?
Huh?
And?
You see there, British people built that, and British people put Lord Nelson there. I see they should pull down the Parliament building then.
So British people did not put Lord Nelson there. Barbadians at the time, from what history says, he did a collection and had the statue put there.
So I believe then
1701, a house was constructed at James Fort, used the thing, 1857, construction of the building, trying to figure out when it was done, 1860, there was a fire in Bridgetown. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Well, all that's colonial money, so they should pull down Parliament building then. All that could be colonial.
So do you think Nelson was pulled down because he's colonial?
That's a part of it.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm a black man. And I don't understand. We got a lot of black jokers in Barbados. Black jokers, do you hear? So I thank you.
Okay, sir. Construction of the West Wing was completed in 1871, presented to government at the beginning of 1872. The design was John F. Bourne, then superintendent of public works. That's according to history. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Hey.
Yes, sir. How are you this morning?
I am all right.
Yeah. This is a small message to the historians. I don't know if they read their Bible, but slavery did not begin in the Caribbean or Europe. Slavery began in the ancient days, I believe, Egypt. Was one of the places that you could name off your head because of the Pharaoh's rule and the slavery. Hey, when I listen to some of these historians, especially Mr. Marshall, he seems to think that slavery was something put on to Barbados. Slavery was always there. Even in the Bible days, they used to call the servants that worked in the field slaves. So slavery is not a Caribbean thing. And these people must come and, you know, they just take the Bible, take out certain parts of the historian knowledge to come and fool and tantalize and scramble people's brain. But slavery was always there, and it still exists in certain parts of the world. So we should be proud that we have freedom here in the Caribbean. That's one. Number two, problem I have with the naming of the bus terminal. I don't think that Granville name suits a bus terminal. Whether you keep meetings there or not, I don't think that name is a suitable name for a religious organization. It doesn't fit the type of activity that goes around the bus terminal and the bus stand of itself. And I think it should be named Fairchild Street Bus Terminal should remain. If you have any comments to make on it, are you willing to listen, or I just not listen to you, sir?
Okay, sir. I have no comment on that one.